I'm Warren Berkeley with the Laurel Heights Church of Christ, and these video studies continue 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to begin by reading verses 1 through 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. Listen, please. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when He brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if, by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, He condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly, and if He rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormented in his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and defy authority. Bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction, suffering wrong as a wage for their wrongdoing. They count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions while they feast with you. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved gain for wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. These are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boast of folly, they entice by sensual passions the flesh, those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, They are again entangled in them and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than, after knowing it, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallowing in the mire. Now, please go back and connect what we've just read in 2 Peter chapter 2 with what we studied in the last paragraph of chapter 1. And what we studied back there was the integrity of the message of God delivered by the apostles, the very message that we have on the pages of the New Testament. God has revealed the truth, and one benefit is we can detect what is false by knowing and applying and discerning with God's truth in the New Testament. Peter and the other apostles, remember this from the previous passage, were not following cleverly devised fables. They were eyewitnesses of the Lord's majesty. They heard what God said about Christ. When God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear him." That account is back in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration. So Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We have the prophetic word made more sure, to which we do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place." As the writing of Scripture was given, Peter says, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So we have an objective standard to apply and to use for discernment when we hear what men say. Now, verse 1 of chapter 2, "False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." In this video, I want us to consider false teachers in terms of their history, their location, their reality, their method, their message, their denial, and the outcome of swift destruction. First of all, their history. All through the Old Testament, as you engage in your daily Bible reading, you will observe the presence of false teachers documented in that book of history. Deuteronomy 13, Isaiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 13. The point is, false teaching was not something new in Peter's time. It is not something new in our time. False teaching can be traced all the way back to the time of Moses. In fact, in the time of Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Solomon, and others, false teaching is about as old as human sin. Let me ask you, who was the very first false teacher and what was his false doctrine? Well, the first false teacher was Satan, and the false doctrine was when he said to Eve, "Has God really said that you cannot partake of this tree?" So, it's always been so that there have been false teachers. Their location, among the people. If false teachers were located out in some unpopulated region, isolated from anybody else, the danger would be limited to those who were teaching error. but it's like real estate. It's all about location. So they work among the people. History, false teachers have been around for a long time, ever since Satan. Their location, among the people. Their present reality. Peter says there will be false teachers, not only present, but future. False teachers were a spiritual menace in the nation of Israel, in New Testament times, and today. We must never make the mistake of relegating false teaching to ancient times. If we assume there is no problem about this, we will not be careful to take heed. And when you stop taking heed, when you stop watching, you get hurt. So, here's one point. Read the scriptures carefully, and every time you hear what men say, compare what men say to what God has already said. False teachers have a long history. Their location is among the people, and their reality is with us today. They work secretly. You've heard me in previous videos, and perhaps if you listen to my sermon content, you've heard me say false teachers do not wear a name tag, identifying them as false teachers. That might be very convenient, but they work secretly. It may be that some men are sincere, but ignorant of the Bible, but they stand up and teach openly what they believe at the time, and somebody needs to take them aside, like Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos aside. But that's not what we're talking about here. The kind of false teachers Peter warned about are those who slip in. They gain your confidence, they introduce their false teaching, and they gradually attempt to take you away from God. If you don't use the discerning power of the Word, they can do just that. So they may appear to be charming and courteous and humble and efficient and easygoing, but external appearance is not what you go by. This is what you go by. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." So they have a long history. Their location is among the people. They have a present reality. False teachers are here today in the world and in the religious community. Their method is to work secretly. Their message is destructive heresies. The word heresy is derived from a concept that goes like this. A group of people who enjoy their unity in their error, and they seek to advance or spread their error to others. They have some particular group or error or false teaching, and they share that in common. They want to propagate that. It is destructive because it is false. Our duty is to be on the alert to that danger, the danger that Peter underscores here. Learn the Bible so that we can easily recognize that which is false doctrine. So, in times past, there were false prophets and false teachers. They did their work among the people. They are present in the religious world today. They work secretly, but they convey to their hearers destructive heresies. Even, Peter says, denying the master who bought them. Now, this doesn't mean they're going to stand up right in your face and say, "I deny the Lord Jesus Christ." No. It's not going to be that open. It's going to be subtle, because remember, secretly. And so what they teach would result in a denial of the Lord, and in their minds, they have denied what the Lord said. You know, someone can deny the Lord through behavior without any verbal denial. Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. No indication here of people walking around teaching verbally that Jesus is not the Christ and there is no God. No, they profess to know God, but in their works, they deny Him. They may deny Him in a number of multiple ways, but if you'll take what they say and compare it to Scripture, you will know the truth. The outcome, swift destruction, destructive heresies. Here's where I want to say, you cannot teach a destructive message and enjoy a constructive outcome. You cannot embrace the doctrines of hell and then go to heaven anyway. If you teach and embrace the doctrines of hell without repentance, your eternal destiny will be in keeping with your doctrine. Teaching, preaching, or believing false doctrine can never, ever lead to a good result. No good outcome. False teachers enjoy no good results presently. They may assemble great numbers and followers. They may have some superficial advantage. But what they eventually have without their repentance is swift destruction. Paul said about Alexander in 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Swift destruction. And then notice the phrase, because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. One of the awful dimensions of damage with false teachers is that the way of truth is blasphemed. When false teaching is allowed and it spreads and the master is denied, some people react by saying, well, if that's what religion is all about, I'm done with religion altogether. The conclusion isn't justified, but that's what happens when error is taught. So let's get that. Don't walk away from truth because of error. In fact, I'll say it this way. You don't walk away from truth because of error. You walk away from error because of truth. And then another element to this is added in verse 2. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle. So sometimes the advantage false teachers seek is money, but sometimes it is attention, pride, followers, control. Don't be a victim. Don't be exploited. And you don't have to be exploited because you have, in this book, the Bible, you have the Word of God. Do you remember this? It's about what's written in this book. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Read your Bible, and every time men speak, just as I'm speaking to you through this video, open your Bible and make certain it is there. Thank you for being with us.